Now, this week, we're investigating what it takes to become an elite athlete. Because as Steve mentioned, as important as innate talent is, it's not enough to make it at the top. A good understanding of how your body works and responds to exercise and to your particular sport is key, which is where the work of exercise physiologists like Chris Easton from Kingston University comes in.
The typical things that we measure are things like heart rate, energy expenditure, the amount of oxygen that one uses during exercise, lactate production, that kind of thing, to monitor physiological status, physical fitness, and then that can feed back into training programs to help improve performance.
So people generally know that, say, things like your recovery rate, so how well your heart rate perhaps recovers to normal after exercise, can be a good indicator of fitness. But what's the step up, I guess, for elite sport? What are the types of things you have to monitor there?
If you talk about endurance running in particular, one of the things that will be measured is something called running economy or running efficiency. And that is the amount of oxygen that one uses during a particular running speed. And that's really nice for tracking change before and after a training programme, before and after altitude acclimatisation, for example. And other things like something we call critical velocity or critical power. That's the maximal speed or power that one can maintain. And definitely have been shown to be quite good predictors of particularly endurance performance. Other markers, things like VO2 max, which is the aerobic capacity, the maximal amount of oxygen that you can consume in a single minute, have been shown to be reasonable predictors of performance, but less so than things like critical velocity.
So really, training needs to be quite homed in on what a particular athlete is training in to really advance them to the elite level.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the sports scientists, the coaches, nutrition staff tailor their programs specifically for those athletes in the different sports.
Everybody at London 2012 is going to have their eyes firmly placed on Usain Bolt. What is someone like his training schedule going to be to get him going, I guess, as fast as possible?
It's difficult to say exactly what he's doing. They do tend to keep these things fairly secretive, but they'll be looking at things like the sort of biomechanical assessment of his gait, the forces that he can produce, particularly out the blocks, his reaction time. And of course, you know, the things that he'll be working on predominantly will be his strength and his speed. Those are the two kind of primary factors that will determine how fast that one can run the 100 metres.
So comparing sprinting to other sports, could you give some examples of sports that would have very different physiological factors monitored?
Three good examples to compare would be something like running the marathon, which, you know, world records are just over 2 hours for males. Rowing, which the time to complete the 2,000 metre track will be somewhere between 360 and 240 seconds. And weightlifting, which, you know, really only requires a 1 to 2 second maximal effort. So, you know, if you look at the endurance sports, the things that will be monitored and measured there will very much focus on the cardiovascular system, the aerobic energy systems, VO2 max, critical velocity, something called the maximal lactate steady state, and the lactate threshold measurements as well. Whereas things like the rowing will look more at the maximum power that one can generate. And weightlifting, they'll look at measurements of strength and, of course, the amount of mass they have in comparison to fat. So that is the lean muscle mass. Those parameters will be fundamental in lifting heavy weights.
So with the things like lactate for endurance sports, this is something you don't want to build up because it could hinder performance.
Well, I mean, that is a little bit of a myth. In actual fact, lactate can be a positive thing. So, you know, lactate is formed from glucose, which breaks down to something called pyruvate, and then broken down further into lactate. And that lactate can actually go in the reverse direction. So that lactate can actually be used to generate substrate for exercise metabolism. The thing that may have a negative impact is the hydrogen ions, the acid component that's produced along with the lactate. Increased production of hydrogen ions, of acid, can reduce the efficiency of the muscle contractions.
And so how would this be monitored and tweaked to improve performance?
Well, one of the things that you can measure is something called the lactate threshold, and that is basically the point at which lactate begins to build up in the blood. And what you're using lactate for is really a marker of the increase in hydrogen ions. It's just that lactate is much easier to measure. You can use it, you'll measure it using portable systems, taking a very small amount of capillary blood. And additionally, we can also get an idea of the lactate threshold simply by measuring your expired air during exercise. So one of the consequences of an increased production of hydrogen ions, of acid, is that the body's response to that is to produce something called sodium bicarbonate. That then goes through a reaction that, in the end result, produces water and carbon dioxide. So when we pick up that increased production of carbon dioxide, we know that that is going to be close to the point of what we call lactate threshold.
And is this threshold something that can be moved?
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, one of the common responses to a training program is that you shift the lactate threshold to the right. So what that means is that the lactate threshold occurs at a higher running speed or a higher cycling power. Clearly, that's going to be beneficial to the athlete because obviously they can then maintain a higher speed or a higher power before that build-up of lactate and hydrogen ions.
Chris Easton from Kingston University, who we'll be hearing from again later in the program, when we visit his lab to see just how an athlete's physiology is monitored.